Ed Reardon's Week by Christopher Douglas and Andrew Nichols. Episode 3, The Bromance.
It says swim clockwise in this lane. If it wasn't for those idiotic goggles, you'd see the notice.
I embrace the camaraderie of the morning swim, a centuries-old ritual not unlike the gymnasia of 5th century BC Athens. Vigorous exercise followed by philosophical discourse in the changing room among other like-minded naked men with senior membership.
One bullet, that's all it takes. Give me a ticket to Moscow, I'll do it myself.
The snatches of horse sense I pick up at the pool sometimes find a home in Ed Reardon's regular soapbox corner on Radio Hearts and Bucks, now entering its third successful week with a gratifying 9 complaints so far. The congenial atmosphere of the changing room can detain me for most of the morning, thanks in part to the warm, cost-free conditions for shaving one's neck below the beard line, in front of a mirror that doesn't mist up, and there are the even more cost-efficient radiators, offering a convenient way of drying one's washing.
Will the owner of 2 pairs of large M&S boyfriends please remove them from the men's changing
room? Oh, really?
Also, 3 pairs of days of the week socks, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday.
In due course.
Once again, that's Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Please move them, along with the pants.
Yes, all right.
As they've been there over 2 hours, drying out.
I'm coming, for heaven's sake. Facilities established for the public good invariably divide opinion. One thinks of farmers' markets, upright pianos and railway stations, and online neighbourhood forums. My local pool is no exception. There's an irritating new addition to the traditional no smoking, no bombing, no petting notice, which reads, no clothes drying. Pettifogging otiosity that it is, it presents no serious obstacle to an experienced writer of fiction. In order to dry a mixed wash, I have only to place the items on a radiator as before, then simply drape a large bath towel over them for concealment. More troublesome by far has been the pool's upgraded entry system. Says swipe. I've swiped. Nothing. Signally, nothing happens.
You have to slide it under the scanner. Wait for it to read your barcode, wait for the green light, then wait again.
How long for?
A bit longer. I wonder if this is going to be the subject of your next soapbox corner.
Ah, the listener. Are you one of the 9 complainers?
No, I'm a big fan of yours.
Really? That's most kind. Actually, I think my next soapbox will feature that hirsute man in goggles who occupies the fast lane, flippers on his hands and feet.
The one who swims in the opposite direction to everyone else?
Yes, oblivious to complaints.
Oh, you can't hear with those big earplugs. And he only ever does about 5 minutes, hardly worth putting all that gear on.
Well, that's what the fast lane seems to be for. A couple of lengths, then sprawl gasping in triumph across the shallow end, leaving no room for anyone else to turn.
I can't stand it when it gets competitive in a pool.
Nor I. That's why I stick to the middle lane.
I thought that was for conversation only.
It is, and considerably safer than the slow lane.
Oh, good luck getting out of there alive. Have you seen that old bird who does a, don't know what you call it, side stroke?
She fought in the war, you know.
Yeah, not surprised. Still got a bruise where she whacked me with a yellow pool noodle. So, anything else in the pipeline? Shame they don't bring Tenko back. I'm Derek, by the way.
Ed Reardon.
I do a bit of writing myself, actually.
Oh, do you? What's the matter with this thing? Ah, right, I'd better get on or I'll miss my slot.
Yeah, talking about this, Ed, you can have this one for nothing. People who say...
You can have this one for nothing.
For nothing. Ha, you beat me to it. That's the difference, you see, between a real pro and an amateur. That's your skill, your genius.
Well, I'm not sure about that. Genius with neither a deal with an American streamer nor even a functioning printer.
You even made that Emmerdale Xmas cookbook seem, well, not funny exactly, but wry.
Very kind of you to say so.
And stress-free stir-fries, although that was waggish more than wry.
Derek, please do tell me your bugbear.
If you're sure.
Mind if I have a quick shave while I listen?
People who say incredibly all the time.
Ah, yeah.
Our patients are incredibly important. Well, why'd you let them die on a trolley? We've had to take incredibly hard decisions. Yeah, sack your staff, make them freelance, then pay yourselves a bonus. We have to be incredibly honest with our stakeholders. I heard that at a council meeting.
Yes, morally bankrupt officials always seem to have an amazing team, too.
Amazing, hard-working team.
Yes, I'm afraid once doublespeak takes hold, there's very little to be done about it.
Well, I went online and bought a clockwork rat.
Did you, Derek?
Several, actually. They were only £3. Next council meeting, every time one of those pillocks said incredibly, I released a little ratty across the floor.
Did it have the desired effect?
Yes and no. There was quite a lot of oat milk spilled and a chair got broken.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but I was banned from the council chamber. Mm.
Progress is slow and hard won, as the suffragettes discovered.
Just a reminder that shaving is not permitted in the change facilities.
Oh, do be quiet.
Either above or below the beard line.
We ought to work together, you and me, shoulder to shoulder.
Eto je mio elektrisheskoe udela.
Hello, Ping.
Citrus! Sorsky Ed, just telling the Ukrainians to put my electric blanket back and lay off my smoked sturgeon, kapiski? Ugh.
It seems I've interrupted a serious thriftafarian crisis.
Too right. They nicked my tin of pilchards last week and I had people coming for supper.
Well, on an equally melancholy note, I wanted to ask you about Nans We Said Goodbye To this year.
Oh, did you get the list from the publishers?
Yes, but all the Nans who have passed, as it says, seem to be connected to reality TV. Bangers and Cash presenters Nans, Home Greek Home presenters Nans. It could make the book somewhat lacking in diversity.
Actually, they just sent through a couple more Strictly Nans who sadly didn't survive the winter.
Well, serve them right for blowing their fuel allowances on sparkly tops. It's all so relentlessly demotic, we seem powerless to resist. If Bertrand Russell went on I'm a Celebrity, I guarantee by the end of week one, he'd be dedicating his bush tucker trial to his late Nan.
Oh, she was totally lovely from what my great-granny told me. They used to hunt together. Ed, you've got blood on your neck.
Oh, just a training injury from the pool. Actually, there's a rather good grandmother who's a regular in the lane next to me. She was a spy in the war. Unfortunately, she's still alive.
Are you going to drown her? Oh, that could work. We haven't got one of those.
Too dangerous, I fear. According to a friend of mine, she's liquidating people in the slow lane at a sickening rate.
Friend? What friend?
Oh, it's a chap I met at the pool, Derek. He's not unamusing.
Ed, do not be meeting men at the pool, especially not called Derek. You're supposed to be writing a book, not prancing around having bromances all over the place.
I've had one brief conversation with him in the changing room. Admittedly, neither of us had any clothes on.
Dump him, Ed. Seriously. He'll want you to collaborate with him and you'll end up getting distracted from proper work.
I have no intention of taking my eye off the departed Nans, nor their obligatory legacies.
It's because you're still grieving for your cat. I'll send you a Rubik's Cube for company. They are so back!
I still have one from before they went out of fashion, so don't trouble.
Honestly, Ed, Nans We Said Goodbye To could run every year. I mean, Nans aren't going to stop sadly passing, are they? Think about it. Bye! Bye!
Morning, Ed.
Oh, hello, Derek. Didn't recognise you with your swimming shorts on. Crowded today.
They can't be bothered to fix the card scanner.
I thought it seemed less implacable than usual.
They left the turnstile unlocked, so anyone can walk in.
There must be 20 in the middle lane.
Half of them actually swimming.
A roiling mass of masculinity racing in the fast lane is hopeless.
Not necessarily.
No, I think I'll give it a miss and go home.
Ed, there is a straightforward solution to this.
What? Ah, the clockwork rat.
I've got 5 more in my swimming bag. I'll wind them up. You release them down the side of the pool. Like that.
Oh, why not? Another one. Keep them coming.
Right.
Well, Derek, I suppose it depends how you measure success.
It cleared the pool.
Yeah, although we didn't get much of a swim. I must say I was surprised by the severity of our ban. Manager comes across as such a cheery fellow in the video they have playing in reception.
He's a right piece of work. Seen the way he sits there behind a desk watching himself on a screen day after day. Never gets bored with a sight of his own stupid grin.
Yes, although his spontaneous laughter at the video's blooper sections become somewhat forced, don't you think?
Yeah, well, he's eyeing up a gig on reality TV. Don't be surprised if you see him on Channel 5 one afternoon, swimming pool confidential or something.
I wonder if his Nan is still with us.
Why?
No reason. Anyway, we've given the industrial military complex one hell of a fright this morning. I sense you have experience of this sort of thing.
Tormas Square occupation, 73 to 79.
Oh, no. I had a girlfriend who was one of the Camden Flashers photo collective.
They squatted number 13. I was there for a bit. Also 35, until number 37 fell down and flattened it.
She left me for New Cross Dave.
Went to India with him. Amazing times. Camden Council tried to shaft us, but we won in the end. Ah, oh, such a great story. I tried to write a script about it, but...
ITV1 didn't bite your hand off. Rafe Fiennes as Dave.
After I retired from the records office, I thought I'd have the time to get down to it, but couldn't seem to settle to anything.
Yes, when my cat died, I couldn't do much either.
It's a great story. It just needs...
Yes, like so many. Anyway, I must...
I'd like to ask, but, well, we could work on it together.
Oh, I'm busy, I'm afraid.
What are you working on?
I'm doing a book.
You're allowed to say what it's about?
I'd rather not. Writer's superstition, you know.
Come on, you can tell me.
How do I know you're not a robot?
That capture thing never works for me. I always seem to count a wrong number of road signs or miss a bit of the motorbike.
Actually, what I say is I am a robot and I've come here to take over the world and enslave the entire population.
Oh, Ed, you are such a listen to us.
Wednesday. Collaboration is something I've always tried to avoid. Ever since the BBC teamed me up with old Ted Cartwright to provide topical squibs for Radio 4's Weekending in the early 80s. Our song, which began God Rest Ye Merry Social Democratic Party, was Ted's idea, and predictably failed to garner a single comment on the duty officer's log. I bitterly resented Ted's rejection of my own lampoon of the Limehouse Declaration, which had an infinitely more savage Swiftian bite, and was set to the tune of the Eton boating song. Since then, I've preferred to work alone, and I decided to use the enforced layoff from the swimming pool to explore my own projects. I want to claim my free bet for you. Well, it won't. I'm clicking next, but nothing happens. You see, Elgar, it won't... Oh, not here, are you? Just a minute. Jolly voting weather for a centre-left alternative to Marxist dogmatism. Hello, Jake.
Oh, it was so great to hear you singing again, Dad.
What news from the world of the woke?
I suspect you wouldn't understand even if I told you.
I think you might be right. What's in the box?
Something to take your mind off things while you're bereaved.
I have my work.
You're grieving for your cat mainly, though, right?
Well, no, I'm doing a book. I'm doing...
The horses.
Occasionally, yes.
Dad, say hello to your new companion.
A rabbit?
It's a house rabbit.
What am I supposed to do with that?
That is Mrs. Bunnington, and she's a standard chinchilla.
Thank you, but it's only a small flat.
You're lucky she's not a Dutch lop or a Flemish giant, because they're immense.
I'm not in need of company. As I say, I'm doing a book.
On your own.
Yes, and also a possible collaboration with...
Who?
Well, with a man I met at the swimming pool, Derek. We have a certain amount in common.
Derek? But you've got a friend already, your mate Jazz. I mean, what's he supposed to feel now that Derek's entered the picture?
It has nothing to do with Jazz. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a Zoom call booked with my agent.
I know you've had a shock, but you can't go off buddying up with random old geezers. So what? Is he going to move in? Both of you going around wearing pyjamas like Morecambe and Wise?
That'd be ridiculous.
So he's trying to get his hands on your royalties when you die? Ah, seriously, Dad, you are literally jeopardising your own children's residuals. OK, look, here's what you do. Start a fundraising page for Elgar. Post a load of photos of him doing stuff, jumping up, whatevs. I'll help you. You wouldn't believe what people will shell out for.
Ah, I'm in the waiting room. Hello, Ping.
Bad news, Ed. One of the casualty actors' nans has been found alive and shacked up with a waiter at Sharm El Sheikh.
But I've just written 500 words about how she knitted a hat and mittens for her grandchildren every Christmas.
Ed, is that a house rabbit?
Hi, Ping.
Oh, hi, Jake. How's it going?
Yeah, good.
Are you still seeing Livy?
Yeah, occasionally. Why'd you ask?
Because that looks exactly like her chinchilla house rabbit, Mrs. Bunnington.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she told me she's having to get rid of it because her Ukrainian guest has hay fever. Anyway, Ed, I hope that's helpful. Bye, Ed! Bye, Jake! Bye, 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 bye!
Jake, I'm afraid it's up to you to take responsibility for your own love life.
Well, that's pretty much what I'm planning to do while the Ukrainian's out at work. So, I'll let you get back to the horse racing, Dad. Can you bet online? Because you need to stay in for the rabbit food delivery.
When's that coming?
Any time between now and midnight. You can pay for it out of your winnings.
Really? In this evening's writing class, I'd like us to look at some of the challenges we face when writing about the recently departed.
Oh, it's time you moved on from your cat.
I'm not talking about my cat particularly.
Well, you were on the Watford Ad Mag's birth and death page.
There's a star in the sky called Elgar.
It was meant to read Ave Catque Vale, but the Ad Mag's editor changed it. It's an extremely common writer's experience, unfortunately, as if there weren't challenges enough.
My husband died 5 years ago today. I never found it a challenge to talk about him.
Oh, I'm sorry, Winnie.
Oh, don't be sorry. He never lifted a finger. He was controlling. No, I'm having the time of my life. Anyone else want some of this?
Oh, you're all right. I had a cup of tea before I left home.
Oh, it's Sauvignon Blanc. I put it in a thermos to keep cool.
Oh, well, thank you. Just knock this coffee back. Mm. There. So, it was Dr. Johnson who said... Ooh. Mm. No man is on his honour when speaking at a funeral.
Someone kicked the bucket?
Derek!
I thought I'd... sign up to come and sit at the feet of the master.
Oh, yoga's on the floor above, dear. I'd come with you if it wasn't for the stairs.
No, Ed and I met at the fitness centre. Derek Dawson.
Hi, everyone. Mm.
Didn't someone of that name release a clockwork rat in the council chamber a while back?
Guilty, I'm afraid.
No, Stan, we provide a safe and inclusive space for all.
Oh, they had it coming to them, especially the Environment Committee with their low-traffic neighbourhoods. Pleased to meet you, Derek.
Thanks. Thought I'd enrolled for some tips on writing. Need to get myself kick-started on an idea I've had.
Well, I'm not sure this course is relevant.
Oh, what are you working on, Derek?
It's a series about a squatter's commune in London in the 70s.
Oh, that sounds binge-worthy, Derek.
Young, urban and retro. Could be a Netflix original.
Scope for a fair bit of nudity there. Maybe out in the street. With a burst water main.
Good parts for the evil developers, too. Oh, I do like to see Alan Armstrong in a builder's hat.
Oh, stop it, Olive.
Could we please...
And there should be a nice, posh English lady who likes the squatters, even though she's old. That could be Helena Bonham Carter.
If I may be permitted to drag us back from the realms of gratuitous cliché.
Oh!
No, he's right. That's exactly what it needs. A truthful approach. I tried to get Ed involved, but he said he's busy working on something else.
Nans we said goodbye to this year. That's what he told us it was. If that's not gratuitous, I don't know what is.
In an increasingly rare stroke of good fortune, it emerged that under the terms of the ban imposed on Derek and myself by the pool authorities, we could now return to regular swimming, but not at the same time, at least not for another week, lest we egg each other on to further antisocial clockwork-driven behaviour. I was glad to be a free agent once more, but also oppressed by the thought that Derek's 1970s squatters idea was a far from unworkable one, and I may have been over hasty in rejecting it. Derek!
Absolutely no pressure whatsoever, but you mentioned you hadn't got a printer.
I haven't, but...
Here! It's just a bog-standard inkjet. I got it for 39 quid in the sale.
I can't accept that.
Think of it as an art subsidy. Look, I'm not pushing the collaboration, although, obviously, this would be useful if we did work together. We can go halves if it makes you feel easier.
And so, for the first time since Ted Cartwright and I clashed angry pipes on the steps of the Yorkshire Grey after the recording of Weekending and had to be separated by Alison Steadman, I found myself in a collaboration. Derek and I began discussing the Tolmer's Square occupation and drawing from what was, after all, a rich and promising trove of material. Bingeable, one might say.
So, in episode one, we probably need to get to know all the characters.
That's a point, yes.
How they connect geographically and emotionally.
Don't want to get too bogged down in the details. That's the mistake they made on Smiley's People.
No. I remember in 74 or 75, we had a big street party with Morris dancers and fire eaters.
Nah, too expensive.
What if the squatters all go on a picnic to Hampstead Heath?
BBC usually film at the depths of winter. It'll look like Napoleon's retreat from Moscow.
Right. Well, you're the one with experience.
Ah-huh.
Yes?
Guardian Sports says the chairman of Lancashire's resigned. Saw that coming.
Or... we could start with, and this actually happened to me, a newcomer gets interviewed for a place in a squat. He has to go around all the different houses until... No? You don't like that. Fine.
Nearly. Never mind.
What?
Sorry, just watching the finish of a novice hurdle at Kelso. What did you say?
Thinking about an event that could bring them all together. Could be the night Eric Clapton came round.
Have we fed the rabbit?
Not for a bit.
Better go and buy the carrot.
It's raining.
No, it doesn't matter. Won't be long. Why don't you print up what we've done so far?
Ask any of the great writing teams, such as Galton and Simpson, Lerner and Lowe, and no doubt Monty Don and Nigel the Retriever, and they will tell you that collaboration involves sitting round, shooting the breeze, apparently doing nothing, followed at the end of the day by a burst of ideas and frenzied typing. And so it proved with Derek and myself, although without the frenzied burst.
And then I thought, what if she hides the map of the escape tunnel in the pocket of her floral pinny as she hangs it out to dry? Fine. But where would the Tenko viewers want to go after the scene by the washing line?
Don't know. The kneading line?
So, I have Daisy and Dorothy strangle the guard Nakamura with the string, truss him up and chuck him in the Singapore River. Or the Stour, as it was, just by Blandford Four and Tesco's. Yes, very, very happy days on that show.
How many days?
Two in Dorset and one more at TV Centre.
Nice. Just to get back to the Tolma occupation... One night round a bonfire, some of us put together an alternative proposal for purchasing the squatted houses in the square.
Oh, we're doing passport to Pimlico now, are we? Hardly worth turning the printer on for that.
Shall we go for a swim?
Good idea. You first, then I'll follow later.
No. We can go at the same time now. We've served our suspension.
I see reception's had a particularly nasty makeover since we last visited. Why giraffes on the walls?
Still got the same video playing, though. Same Bert with a lanyard laughing at himself. See what they're calling the changing rooms now?
Ah, the changing village, of course.
Thought you'd like that.
Takes a pool to raise a writer and a fitness franchise to make a changing village.
It's all individual cubicles now. Men and women are a thing of the past, mate. No more old geezers' chats in the communal changing room.
But what on earth are naked seniors supposed to do? Surreptitiously slide notes under the cubicle doors saying, see the so-called game last night, and you're not wrong there, Gary.
Brand new card reader, too.
Bet it doesn't work.
Oh, bloody hell.
At least they preserved some of the building's character.
Swimming is an age-old writer's displacement activity. It's said that of all the nations in the ancient world, only the Greeks had the ability to swim. I imagine it was the playwrights who led the way, Aeschylus, Sophocles and Euripides, literally going to any lengths to avoid staring at the blank papyrus. And while the 1970s squatter's occupation script remained in the shallows, its authors got fitter and in due course moved across into the fast lane.
Good warm-up.
Yeah. Beat the crap out of that bloke in goggles.
Whack them on the back of the legs if they get in your way, that's what I do.
It's a bit boring just ploughing up and down, doesn't it?
A bit. We're improving our times, though.
True. Fancy a race?
Why not? Half a mile?
Make it a mile.
OK. Let's see just how good a writer you are.
OK. Can't be losing to the author of Nans We Said Goodbye To, can I?
Oh, really?
Go!
The pool will be closing in 45 minutes. And just a reminder that there's only one person allowed per cubicle in the changing village. The pool will be closing in 15 minutes. And once again, no cubicle sharing in the village, even for a chat. The pool closes in 5 minutes. Changing village cubicles have now been locked until people learn to read.
Why have you stopped?
I've won.
No, you haven't. There's one more length to go.
Not in a pool mile.
A what?
A mile in the pool is 1,600 metres. Look on Swim Guru. I was ahead after 63 lengths.
That's ridiculous. I was about to overtake you.
Too late, mate.
You always have to be right about everything.
That's hardly fair.
You don't like any of my ideas. You trash every story suggestion I make. You're a sarcastic, bitchy, condescending, ungenerous, arrogant bastard. And you couldn't write Apple TV Plus on the back of a dirty white van.
Should have saved some of that breath for the race. You might have won.
And that episode of Tenko was contrived and sentimental.
Bit more socially useful than scrounging off the dole and smoking pot. Fascist hippie!
Right, you two, out!
Hi, Dad.
Jake, good to see you. I was just working.
Have you seen Elgar's GoFundMe page?
Not recently.
The campaign just smashed four figures.
GoFund, what is it?
Elgar, the puss who hated woke. You haven't even looked at it, have you?
As I say, I've been busy.
I photoshopped Elgar so he's standing at a bar with a pint and a fag. Donations are pouring in from literally everywhere. Jimmy Carr's collected £5,000 from his Just Giving account, so we're almost there.
Where exactly?
The middle of the English Channel. We're going to promote the appeal by hiring our own boat. We'll call it Wokey McWokeface, and really get up the noses of the Royal Navy and French authorities.
I really wouldn't advise that, Jake. Not if my experience of the gendarmerie is anything to go by.
When was that?
1997, Paris. I took your mother to the Celine Dion Titanic tour to make amends for some minor misdemeanour.
Oh, darling. Sounds like another disaster.
First, our fag lighter ran out of gas when I held it up.
You really know how to trample on people's hopes and dreams.
Exactly what your mother said when I failed to get her a poster by peeling it off the wall outside.
Well, she did say that you weren't always deliberately crap.
How generous.
Just very immature.
Then you may be surprised to hear that I've decided to do the right thing for my nearest and dearest.
Yeah? How?
By respecting Elgar's memory and expressly forbidding you to use his image anywhere, as the contracts say, within or beyond Earth's territorial airspace, and especially not with a fag.
Oh, cheers, Dad. After all I've done for you.
I'm afraid so. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm in my agent's Zoom waiting room. Hello, Ping. Are you there?
Come on, Mrs. Bonington. Let's leave him to wallow in his own misery.
Ed, unmute. You've missed your Sunday Times deadline.
Yes,
They want the first 20 nans for the serialisation.
Yes, I've been somewhat...
Ed, little mic with a red line through it. Just click on it.
No, hang on, Jake. Sorry, Ping. You've frozen now.
The senior man of letters is often a target for those who would distract him from his duties to the muse. The person from Porlock, in Coleridge's memorable phrase, might have come to offload an unwanted pet, or to suggest a pointless collaboration. Or the person could equally be not from Porlock, but from Wrexham, offering an online will-writing service. But I'm pleased to report that Ed Reardon has now rebuilt his defences and is no longer receiving callers. The sliver of ice has returned to his heart, and he is once again a clear-eyed, remorseless observer of humankind. One of the most special nans we said goodbye to this year was... what's a wretched name? Insert later. She always said that each and every one of her grandchildren was her favourite. What do you think of that, Mrs. Bunnington? Is that plausible? As a multiple nan yourself, you... No. Gone.
Ed Reardon's Week starred Christopher Douglas, Sally Grace, Warrenker O'Shaughnessy, Sam Pamphilan, Robert Powell, Nicola Sanderson, Ellen Thomas and Geoffrey Whitehead. It was written by Christopher Douglas and Andrew Nichols. The producer was Dawn Ellis and it was a BBC Studios production.